November 2, 2020. It's a Watt for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Wop for Pedro show. Happy Monday. Yeah. First Monday of November. Yeah, you can hear some noise, but I'll get to that later. We started off with John Coltrane doing Training In. And then, from my guess, Train Song, Nakona. Brother Matt at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point, a couple miles south because we're still in quarantino mode. But I am not totally man alone because of those software engineers in Estonia with their incredible Skype invention. I got two of the Nakonas with me. Welcome aboard. Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Hey there.
Thank you so much. We got to thank right away Dirk Vandenberg for making the connect.
Woo!
Yeah.
Right.
That was Dirk.
For some reason, I haven't shared a stage with you yet, but we will.
Cool.
Yeah.
Who wants to go first? I want to go through you guys' music, a journey through music.
Oh, Chris is right? Chris is going to give you the journey through music.
Yeah, so but you each got one. who wants to go first?
I was forced into it. Go ahead, Chris.
I don't know where to begin.
But if you were forced into it, that's part of the journey. That's part of the story. So, come on.
Well, you know what's really crazy, man. It's great to talk to you because, I mean, I've been my musical journey kind of starts with my cousin's band, who you know, Peg Legasis in Houston. When I was a kid, I used to go down there, and they were really into the Minutemen.
Yeah, but I'm talking about before that. I want you, Chris, please give me your earliest musical recollection period.
Well, earliest period would be, my dad had Lubbock on Everything by Terry Allen on 8-track in his car and used to listen to that all the time. So
that's what you remember early. So you grew up in Lubbock?
No, I grew up in New York, but my parents are both from Lubbock, Texas.
Okay, so you remember music in the car. What about the pad? What town in New York?
I grew up in Westchester County, kind of all in the Mamaroneck and kind of in Harrison.
Okay. Now, was there musical instruments?
Well, my parents are kind of square. My mom played, she had a violin that she never played, but she used to play in the Texas Symphony, but she had given it up. And my aunt played piano, and my dad didn't play anything. He wasn't real.
Was there a piano in the pad?
No, at my aunt's place.
Oh, okay, not where you were. What about school? Did you get in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
No, the music, it was sort of, my parents were pretty kind of conservative Texas people, and music wasn't really...
No, I'm talking about school.
Oh, yeah, in school, I came to music really through wanting to play guitar, and you know, all my cousins in Texas, we'd go down for Thanksgiving every year, and you know, the guys that you know, and I have a bunch of other cousins down there who all play guitar, and everybody would just, you know, sit around playing the blues and everything else. I always wanted to be able to play with them. So,
do you remember the first record you bought yourself with your own money?
Oh Lord, that's kind of
look. It's a Wop for Pedro show. There's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
it would be Motley Crue, Too Fast for Love.
The first gig you went and saw?
The first concert I ever saw was Johnny Cash at Radio City Music Hall.
Okay, New York City. So you're saying your cousins are inspired you to get on the guitar? So what was your first guitar? Was it an acoustic?
No, it was an Ibanez kind of star, like starter, red star, silly.
But electric guitar. And how'd you get it? Christmas, birthday?
Christmas, yeah. I finally.
Now, was it one of these deals where we'll get you a guitar, but you got to take lessons?
Yeah, and
how'd that work out?
Can't let your grades slip and stuff. You know, I was in, I was in middle school at the time, and it was used for a couple of years if I didn't make my grades, it would get taken away.
Now, but you took lessons. Would the guy, was it kind of square shit, or did he show you stuff off records, or did you start writing songs right away?
I started. It's funny. I learned a power chord, and I started making up my own songs right away.
That's great.
But I knew a power chord, and so I was off to the races.
Let's tell the listeners, that's a root with a fifth and an octave.
Yeah.
It's the top part of a bar chord, people. It's really powerful.
Yeah, I didn't have the bar thing going yet.
All the way down, but you had the first, the top three strings, right?
Yeah.
So you're in Tony Iommiville.
Just move that thing around.
That's right.
Ready to rock.
Songs like Iron Man and stuff, it's all about that, right?
Yeah.
And in fact, those high strings, I really didn't hear until... like going to punk shows, you mm-hmm. know? Yeah, because everybody played the low strings, you know, a lot. Did you do the thing, Chris, after school where you have the garage band, the bedroom band, the basement band?
Yeah, well, my friends who lived down the street before we even got instruments, they were like a big Albanian family, and they had all these kids running around, and we would set up all the kids in the basement like an audience, and we would do the like play Kiss records and stuff and jump around with cardboard guitars and stuff.
So it's kind of a mime.
Yeah, we were you know, we would
that's okay, you know what I mean?
We'd light our, yeah, we...
I heard about dudes doing that shit on skateboards before they actually got on skateboards. So, look, I want to play Whites of Your Eyes. Great song here.
Nakona.
Grandma hit it, the sun set it, and the hills that you cleared, I'm still faring, and the trail is gone, the wind is the song. Same one the angels ride upon, fearing the tridents that fall from the heavens. The demons make their own kinds of sixes and sevens. The lights on the gravestones, candles flicker and light up the whites of your eyes.
Antoinette. R.I.P. Baby Aunt. R.I.P. Dirty. R.I.P. I. Juggle, boom, boom, pow, pow, bang, bang. Winning in the, hey, go right there in the dead man. Getting in the same lane. Getting in the same lane. Hey, but we got the same name, so we go represent the same game. Nah. Won't be no force to find here. Won't be no none of that. Hey, we all. What? Then. Change from sin. Live with Ben. Two time with. Then we ride. Ain't in a carpet. That's in a line. That's in the closet. But it's one. Should've shook. That's just another one. It mass incarceration. You know the public ain't the man. She go to another country, so they ain't land. Down for nothing. Number one country, second member me. Running and gunning. Now it ain't nothing. Man, we do this shit for the public to make examples of you motherfuckers.
Ow. I didn't know them fucking around. You gon' get the wax, hey, now. Get back on top. I'm a bitch, I'm a bitch, get you up. Get it up.
Green lover. Green sister, he coming back, nigga, he coming back, winter. Coming back.
Grow up and let it go.
Send fire from
cold. surprising. You come back to me and your warm body brings me to home.
Fly bird, fly high, fly free. I can't hold you down. You're too wild for me. With the break of dawn, all the dream is gone, and I sink once again to the ground. But I'm just as high in a rut looking up as I was on a cloud looking down.
I'm sorry.
Wife from Pedro Show. Yeah, that chunk of music started off with Whites of Your Eyes from Nakona, then Guided by Voices, It Will Never Be Simple. And Segunda from the new Nels Klein record, Model Home out of D.C. with a MISC, probably abbreviation for miscellaneous. Bogdan Rosinski with Zegnaci se ola ujane zola nierziki. Sorry, Polish people. Don't mean to murder your language. I'm a slow learner. White Noise after that from the 60s with Firebird, the great Delia Derbyshire. I don't know if you guys are aware of the Doctor Who theme song, but she made up that music from like tape loops and shit in the early 60s. Then some more stuff from England. Still Staring at a Swollen Face by Dayglow Explode Super Infinite. The Hellbeens, that's out of Brighton, also out of Brighton. Hellbeens, Beats Being With You. And finally, I Owe You Something by Nakona. So, did you, tell me about your first gig. I mean, did you guys move from mind to actually, you know, making sounds yourself and then getting in front of people?
There used to be a club in New Rochelle, New York, called Streets. it was kind of a dive, and we finally got a show with when I was real young, I played kind of like really like I guess it would be kind of grindcore-ish metal. So we got a gig with a band called Aftermath, and we got booed off the stage. So we were like 14, and I don't know how we got.
That's crushing, right? To the I try to tell people that because you know a lot of people I have on the show. I love asking about the first gigs, and most of them go great. But man, not my experience. So I'm glad to hear that, Chris, in a way, because you know how can everybody have a great first gig, especially with a bunch of assholes out there ready to give you shit. I mean, I've been hit with everything: sacks of shit, puke. Use condoms, cups of piss, you know, batteries. That hurts.
Yeah.
So that was a crusher, right? But you came back. Yeah. It didn't make you want to quit music.
No, actually, you know, what's really weird about it is, we were getting booed off the stage, and we had a sort of psychedelic. I took a liberty of turning my amp way up and making a bunch of weird sounds on the guitar and stuff, and that felt really good. So when we started to like play again, I was it kind of set me off in a psychedelic place, you know.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, your turn's done. First I gotta pronounce your name right, please.
My name's Adrian.
Okay, Adrian.
Yeah.
Your earliest musical recollection, please.
I'm probably started as a super fan, and I have known Chris. I met Chris when I was 16 years old. I met him in New York City, and he was playing in a band with my friend the first time I went to visit New York City, and he had long hair, his shirt off, a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. Insane lead guitar player, total babe, and I think I just pointed my finger. I think we might have been together ever since then. I think we just celebrated 20 years married.
Now, before you met him, you never listened to music?
I listened to a lot of music, but...
See, that's why I asked for your earliest musical recollection.
My earliest music, I think I made, signs were showing, and in kindergarten, I made my mom buy me a Kiss guitar from Toys R Us.
Well, she's being modest. She, when I met her when we were younger, she already knew, she knew all the Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen, and Velvet Underground lyrics, and I didn't, because I wasn't I wasn't as smart.
So you were like Adrian, you were like a singer?
No, I'm not a singer. I'm a late bloomer. I started playing rhythm guitar with Chris. One of our first dates, he took me to Nocona, Texas, which our band is named after, and I got to see the 80 Cousins, which are like John Voskamp, Pete Voskamp. I got to see all the boys playing guitar in the barn, and that's kind of what changed my life and why I decided to stick around. And then he bought me a guitar,
so in school you didn't have any music.
In school, no, my parents.
No, that's all right. I know some schools don't even have fucking music programs. That's why Flea started that Silver Lake Conservatory of Music. He went back to Fairfax High. And they had gotten rid of the music program where he learned trumpet. So that's why I always ask that kind of stuff. Can you remember the first, if you knew those lyrics to those bands, what was the first record you bought for yourself with your own money?
First record I bought, it might have been a Velvet Underground record, but I might have seen a Tom Petty concert first, really young.
Well, they're two separate things. One's buying your own record, one's seeing your first gig.
Yeah, I feel like I might have had an X record. I feel like I might have had a Velvet Underground record.
You're talking RX, SoCal, right?
RX, yeah. Yeah,
she introduced us to X, actually, when we were young.
Yeah, well, they were an early band in the Hollywood scene.
Yeah.
And it's a great band. I think they're, John Doe was from Baltimore and Exene, Florida, and Billy, Illinois. But he had come earlier, and then those guys came later. I mean, it still was the 70s. Incredible band. I got to do a bunch of gigs with those guys for their 40th thing and everything. But let's get back. Okay, so Nocona, the band,
yeah,
it gets born out of you guys' relationship.
Yes, never wanting the barn jams to end.
Well, we moved out here when we had our first child, I'd played in a bunch of bands in New York, but we wanted to do something and have it not be contrived, and you know, trying to keep the spirit of that, you know, the basically the barn jam that we have in Nocona every Thanksgiving, sort of where we, you know, play everything from, like, you know, it's usually, you know, those guys from Peg Legacies that you know and a bunch of other family, we play Who covers and anything else. You know, Gloria,
Hank Senior,
whatever. I mean, we played, you know, we just do a bunch of, it's just a crazy barn.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how Nocona got put together. So it was put together in Southern California.
Yeah, so we were in Southern California and we had a baby and we weren't sleeping and we started jamming, and then the next thing we knew, we had a band and we were gigging.
What was the first Nocona gig like?
What was the first? Oh, we played at the Grand Old Echo. At the what's it called? The Echoplex? The Echo?
Yeah.
In Silver Lake, that, Echo Park?
Well, there's two next to each other. One was Echo, and then a little down the hill was the Echoplex.
Yeah, so we used Kim Grant, who is our drummer's wife, to do our publicity for our first record, and she was the creator of the Grand Ole Echo, which is like the Americana roots thing in Silver Lake that happens on Sundays for free, that's all ages. And so we had our first gig there and met that whole community.
Well, you know, the Echo goes way back. It was called Nyart, right? It was a Latin...
Yeah,
because I played there in the late 90s, some benefit. In fact, one time I played a benefit, I got off the bus from jail, but I didn't miss the benefit. And it didn't have the overhead knocked out. It had mirrors all around. It was a little different then. But you guys made an album before you did a gig?
We did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. How did that happen?
Chris is always writing songs. Chris has a vault full of material. Chris and I have been together for a very long time, and since the first day I met him. He does about 5 hours of playing a day.
Great.
There's a couple hours of scales in there. He thinks he sucks, and he just plays and plays and plays. Mm-hmm. But there's a vault of music. So, you know, we had... We still do. I mean, the last record we made, this new one, Los Dos, our friend Jay Braun came out from New York and literally went into the vault and pulled all these obscure cuts for our new record.
So, when they were full on songs, or were they like demos?
No, he does it. He does full on songs, and he'll record them and he'll play every instrument.
Well, I'm talking about before the band got together for a gig. So it was like you guys just overdubbing over yourselves and stuff?
Well, I had a whole bunch of demos, and I just, like, I think I had 20 tunes in various states of, but not totally done, but either sketched out or some were done, some weren't done. I just kind of threw them at the people in the band, and... It was just like whatever stuck to the wall.
Yeah, that makes sense. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, November 2, 2020, Dishwap Pedro Show. Special guest, Nakona, hold tight for hour two. November 2, 2020, it's the second hour of the Wap for Pedro Show.
Well, you're out of your room, but your head is gone.
More. Running, you can have me down on my knees, begging to the honey on your floor. To get you what you wanted, I'd scramble for nickels and dimes. I'd rob and steal and burglarize, commit all manner of crimes. But ain't I looking? Yeah, push never did come to show this true. Ain't I lucky? I never fell in love with you. There was a time not so long ago, I surely would have fallen hard. And as far as the consequences, I'd have had little to no regard. I'd have been careless and reckless, I would have gambled everything. I reckon if I was a bird, I would have gambled away my wings. But ain't I lucky? Yeah. I'm gonna have to take the breather. I know you don't believe what I'm saying. I don't believe it either. Cause I'm getting weaker every day. Cause it sure keeps getting harder and harder to stay. But ain't I looking, push never did come to shove, it's true. Ain't I lucky? Yeah. I never felt I ain't I lucky. I never fell in love with you. Just a roll of the dice.
Library, so the sign says, I let her read the magazine. but so am I, so we rarely ever speak. Oh yeah, well she walks right in most every night. Little party girl, might nice by the lights of the pipe.
Most in this possible place, or in the open reach. Now she didn't really see you come into the room. You didn't know that some 44 were doomed. Yeah, she's really got you. Said you're mean, you're mean.
For Pedro Show, we start up the second hour with stuff from the second Nakoda album, Toothless Junkie, and Sam Bennett out of Tokyo with Ain't I Lucky, Agnes Steck out of Austin, Texas, Bark No Bites, Johnny Mark and the Ricks, that's got the late, great Frankie Onwe from the Lawns, Lights of the Pike. Pike was this kind of amusement thing in Long Beach when I first came to California, and it was, had a wooden roller coaster, and that scary motherfucker. It's where Scotty Ashton got his. He couldn't get up when they came to do Funhouse. He couldn't find a place in Hollywood to get a tattoo, and that star on his shoulder. He had to go to Long Beach because there was still a Navy base here, and that's where you got the tattoos and those. You know, I grew up Navy housing, so that's I don't really have them because everybody's dad did.
That's so funny.
Okay, Lewis Cole with Night Bad Sam from Wales with Alcoholic. La Vida, the Sunken Cages remix from Tollum and Sunken Cages. And finally, It's Just Nakoda. So let's get back to this, because I misunderstood. Chris had the songs, but they didn't have them recorded yet. They still had to recruit other cats for the band. And then, like he told me off air, people, he threw these tunes at him. So who were the first people in the first version of, Nakoda?
It's almost all the same people.
Right.
It's Elon Glasser on harmonica, Justin Smith on drums.
Well, the picture, I asked this because the picture I got of you guys nowadays, it's you two plus one other dude.
Xander plays fiddle with us now. Carl will play steel. Carl will play piano, and Dan Wistrom will play steel. But the original thing was Chris on guitar, me on rhythm guitar. We had Annie Rothschild on bass and Elon on harmonica, Justin on drums. But Annie left before she got pregnant and got morning sickness bad 2 days before we were headlining Saturday night at Pappy and Harriet's. And so I went and learned a 3 hour
Pioneer Town
bass.
So you learned the bass real quick.
So I learned it in 2 days.
Yeah,
with a lot of fuck you, don't talk to me, I gotta do this, shut up. And made it through a 3 hour set, and so now I'm the bass player.
3 hours, jeez, those are some fucking sets. Sounds like an ELP gig. So that other cat that's in the picture.
That's Xander.
That's Xander. He goes back to the beginning.
No,
he's
who's in the picture? What picture are you talking about?
The one. If you go to your fucking website.
There's so many pictures.
No, there's one in the front. There's you two and this other cat standing next to Chris.
That's our drummer.
Okay. You know, when I get the mind reading shit down, I won't have to ask you stuff like this.
All right. Yeah, I'm your nut. Our three constant members are, us three have been in the band since the beginning.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Got a lot of, you know, some are guest stars and some are pretty solidly in the band. Like, Elon, our harmonica player, has been with us since the beginning.
But he ain't in the picture. Justin's in the picture, though. When did Justin join? Is he from the beginning?
Justin's from the beginning.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And because, you know, I kind of figured he did because he's wearing the fancy clothes like you, Chris.
Yeah, so we saw him playing and at the Grand Old Echo where our first gig was, and we thought, man, that guy's a good drummer. I wish we could steal that drummer. And
oh, he was drummer. In a band you were sharing the stage with?
Well, we didn't steal.
We approached him very nicely.
He played in a great band called Old Californio, and he was just killing it on the drums, and they were about to go on a little bit of a hiatus, and I heard that they were going on a hiatus, so I was like, well, let's see if we can jam with them while they're not doing anything.
Yeah, that makes sense. Here, I want to play Long Gone Song.
Thank you.
Dealing down by the river in the evening, washing the snow while the dead tide's bleeding.
up and down. How no one ever was bothered by the fact that you 10-year-olds were eating hot fudge cakes and shonies at 2 o'clock in the morning, it still amazes me to this day.
Number 8,000. Climbing. Thank you.
Song from Nakona, Silver Thing after that, Flowers, The Hawk out of Iowa City with Gone Too, Bonus. I think it was a bonus track. I should get rid of that. I don't think that's the actual title, but again, my mind-reading abilities are fucking lame, people. Are You a Cop with the Brian Kellett. Must be a cat, right? A dude. Meet from Pussycat and the Dirty Johnsons. One time this border officer said to me, because I had my fucking pants on, but not on purpose. I was using piss bottle before we got the bottle in. He said, man, I don't want to see you, Johnson. And my son's brand new, Prey, and then Outside the Lines, Dakota. So I still didn't get to hear about the first gig. The first gig where you met Justin, you guys shared the stage. What was that? What was the first Dakota? Was it a success?
Yeah, it was a little...
It was different than when you were young with getting booed off and you having to play psychedelic to get back at people?
Yeah. Passive-aggressive psychedelic jams.
Self-defense is no offense. No, go ahead, Chris, tell me.
But, well, one thing is, Justin is an amazing psychedelic drummer. Like, if you go out in the outer space with Justin, he'll go all the way out and, you know, just he's a madman in that department. But so we did have some of that from the very beginning. And we played the back porch at the Grand Ole Echo. Hopefully we freaked some people out. You know, it was a pretty good gig, but pretty kind of low key.
We are looking for our community and our scene. And when we came in out here in Southern California and whatever, I mean, we ended up in the roots Americana scene, but we are the loudest band in Americana. So, we still tend to assault the crowd. I mean, Chris is quite a show when he goes fucking out there.
Do you like that idea of genre getting a label? Is it music music?
Yeah. Yes. It's weird.
It's a terrible thing.
Listening to your stuff, I was thinking of another great drummer, Peter Voskamp.
Yeah.
And I know he's into Keith Moon and shit, but I bet you could tear this shit up.
He said to say hi, by the way.
Yeah.
But. I mean, well, Pete Voskamp is, he was sort of like I used to come back when I was a kid. I would come back from Texas and I would rip off Peg Legasus riffs, and I would repurpose them and try to get my band to play them.
So that's from probably Brother John.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know he was heavy into like Talking Heads and stuff.
And Burke,
Burke, great cat too, man. That was I love playing with Peg Legasus. I love those guys. But I mean, do you think it's limited to have like a genre tag?
Yeah, I don't really get it. I never have, but you know, we just try to do something really weird that it you know, hopefully hits people's ear holes in a weird way. And if we're in some kind of genre or whatever, hopefully they're like, well, this doesn't really fit this kind of category. Hopefully we're bending whatever we're...
No, you know, like Creedence, right? CCR, they played a lot of R&B. They played a lot of old-timey rock and roll. They played, you know, yeah. What I mean? It wasn't just, you know...
It's all in there. It's definitely all in there, but...
It's guitar music. Guitar, drum, bass music, right?
It's guitar, drum, bass music.
And you got a harp player.
Yep.
But, I think I come from a different place, sort of origin-wise, than a lot of people who kind of play in the L.A., like, Americana, whatever, sort of, even alt, I don't know what the hell it is, but, like... You know, I grew up listening to like Raging Full Ons. Like I grew up listening to, and New York punk and hardcore and all this kind of different sort of.
Yeah, I hear it in your play. And look at John Fogerty. He's from that very northwest bayou. I think like El Cerrito or something.
Right.
East Bay. You know what I mean? Sly Stone said an interesting thing. He says it's not where you're from; it's where you're at. Because you don't usually pick that kind of stuff, right? But you can kind of pick, you know, while you got the fucking boat in the water. And it's just interesting about that stuff. I remember hearing about the word punk, you know. Here in Pedro, it was a guy who got fucked in jail for cigarettes. I mean, why would somebody call their music that?
Yeah.
We're at the end of the second hour, November 2, 2020, edition of Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, Nakona, hold tight for hour 3. November 2, 2020, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Your mind's just in the state that you beat it more than you need.
Watch for Pedro Show, third hour. We started off with Dakota doing Stabby Mike, then Wasted Space, Lost Tapes number two. That's got Dirk Vandenberg on the drums, Crane on the bass. Bronze Age UFO out of Baltimore with Alice Cooper, not Alice Cooper. Side E, he doing this whole fucking, like, you know, cassettes are back with the younger people. And this is one whole side. And then finally, Chester, Nakona.
Oh.
You know that song by the band, right? Well, it's called The Wait.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a guy in there named Chester, right?
Right, yeah.
And he's got, I think Rick Danko's got almost has a confrontation with him. But it's so hilarious. Like, one of the verses uses, I don't know, 30 words to say nothing. Hardly. Like, right, I came into Nazareth, you know,
yeah.
Whatever, where could a guy lay his head? He just shook his, I could go rest, he just shook his head, no, is all he said. I mean, you know what I mean, all these words to say hardly anything.
It always has had that, there's been some biblical illusion or
oh yeah, probably Levon
quasi metaphor, like it's like, you know, modern day sort of, you know, pulling into Nazareth or whatever, has some sort of, seems to have some allusion to that sort
yeah
of,
a little bit, then, but then there's a verse about who's going to take care of this lady. Well,
yeah.
You know, I'll take care of her, you know. Right. Kind of. But I think that's Levon, right? Because he's the U.S. guy, Arkansas guy. Man, he's a good singer, good drummer.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
Really. I think his wife was with one of the Steely Dan guys in Woodstock, New York. What about this tune, Old Bones, man? I really like this.
Oh, thanks, man. Some of this stuff is sort of written over the past couple of years with the sort of darkness kind of creeping in over sort of, you know, skeletons. And we, you know, there's a burial grounds on some of my family's land in Texas, and there's tombstones of old, like, it's mostly like children and stuff, but I don't know. I was just sort of thought about, we used to play out there and stuff when we were kids, and sort of thinking about, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, you know, the Navy has, and I learned a slang for money. We called them bones. And the SST guys, you know, Black Flag. And
yeah.
Yeah, they heard me use this, and they couldn't believe, they never heard that. So that became my fucking nickname. I couldn't believe that they never heard that.
Ah.
Ain't that a trip? So let's play Old Bones.
You know the fields will be on fire.
is for me.
Wife for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Old Bones from Nakona. And then Appalachian Time Check. The Xenochronic AMM All-Stars featuring Mike Wallace. Yeah, these guys in England. It's a trippy way, huh? Especially maybe it's appropriate for this moment where you trade files. Right? Somebody puts something up and you listen to it and then you like kind of respond to it. And I use an effect. You use a lot of effects, Chris? Doesn't seem like it.
Not a whole lot. I do have a pedal board that has some secret weapons on it.
Of course.
That pedal board is something.
Okay, you know what you got on that pedal? The last song we played, Ace in the Hole. That's your Ace in the Hole. Okay. No.
I guess it kind of goes back, like, you know, like I told from that when we got booed up the stage when I was a kid, it's like I got to do passive aggressive psychedelic.
Get back. You get the get back on them. Yeah. So tell me about this new record, because it just came out, right?
Came out in the summer.
Summertime. Okay.
July 10th, mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. It was not supposed to come out, but, you know, there was, like, the world shut down.
Situation.
And everything else got shut down, and we're like, what the fuck are we going to do? And we're like, hey, there's a finished record and finished art. Let's make it.
Well, let's talk about the record. Let's talk about it. Where was it done?
We made it in our garage, and which was a first. We did our first two records at Kevin Jarvis's studio in Venice, and this Solid one room. We did in our garage, and we flew out our New York friend Jay Braun to come, and he came and lived with us for the summer, and I thought it would just have a different, better, fucking cooler vibe and be really easy, and he just kind of showed up with a suitcase full of mics and preamps. And, you know, we were definitely in over our head at the end of the day, technology-wise, but we did witness magic. Like, I could see it. I was like, we're going to have to fix this shit after.
Me and my friend for years have been like, man, we need to just get in the garage and get back to basics and just no metronome, just people playing. Let's make a goddamn, you know, rock and punk rock and roll record, just people playing music in a room together, you know, get that feeling that, you know, everything is so goddamn technology these days. Rock and roll record.
Was some of this based on how you made the second record?
Nope. Both the first two records were made in the studio with click tracks. Number three.
That's what I'm saying. This third one, you're responding to that experience. You want to, like, do the opposite.
Yeah, we wanted to do the opposite.
Yeah, we'd sort of been talking about it for years and just didn't have the opportunity. So it was, you know, it was in a New York winter, and we were just like, well, why don't you come out here?
Well, it was summer.
Yeah, but they're pretty bad over there, I'll tell you. They're sweaty as a motherfucker, and it don't smell too good.
It's just a motherfucker.
did you have the big, like, storehouse of songs, tunes, or did you write specifically for this?
So this really, you know, Chris is fucking brilliant, but he's totally fucking insane, and so he needs a producer, and which we never had before. So we had Jay, one of our oldest friends, who produced a lot of, like, Blues Explosion and who else in New York? Cool.
Bunch of bands.
Yeah, New York old school rocker friend. And he knows Chris. And he knows Chris from the beginning. And he can handle Chris's crazy mind. And so he went into the vault and was like, this is how we should do this. This is how we should do this. And it was like, it was pretty cool to see him handle the insanity and the two of them work it out together. But it was definitely a different process from the rest of them. Usually Chris is just throws it to us and goes, it has to be like this, and he controls every little detail of it, but this was definitely a collaboration.
Why is the third album called Los Dos?
This one's for you, Chris.
Well, I was gonna change it because I didn't. I
tell them why it was though.
Well, I wanted it to be about like sort of both. I was looking at something to sort of reconcile the binary existential nature of life. You know, it's sort of a yin and yang type thing, like the two, like both everything at the same time. But you know, and then I talked to my friend who's and also like together, like so all for one, one for all kind of thing. And then I talked to my friend who's a native Spanish speaker, and he was like, I don't really know if it means what you think it means. And I was like, well, maybe I should name it. But by that time, Justin, our drummer, was already like, no, man, that's the name. You got to keep the name.
Yeah.
First is always best. So we, you know.
I was just curious. Where can people find you on the internet? It's NakonaMusic.com?
Yes. So NakonaMusic.com and Nakona Music on all the socials.
Well, you know, I'm interested in your website because that's you guys, and from there's probably links to other shit. You can put your flyers on other people's telephone poles. It's okay. But yeah. let's spell it. NakonaMusic.com.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, that's great. And what about a fourth record?
Well,
we got
a lot of stuff in the can. It's weird because, like, the pandemic is... I've been playing... a lot of, like, I've been practicing a lot, and so there's I got a lot of whatever comes out of the next record's gonna be a lot kind of crazier in terms of you know.
Well, I can't wait, Chris, when you get it together. Will you come back on the show and you guys talk about it?
Thanks. Yeah, we'd love to.
Thank you.
Okay,
so much.
Okay. And we'll all be about new days, no old days. Don't worry. Thanks again, and keep on keeping on.
You too. Thanks
so much for having us.
No problem. People, it's been November 2, 2020 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.